table after the service. Thank you very, very much for all that you're doing. I appreciate that. And let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 7, if you will. Matthew chapter 7, you have one with you. If you don't have one with you, you can use the one right there in front of you while we're here. And let me say, one of the things that I like about West Coast, and I have, you know, we've had staff come in and out and so forth, and a lot of times, you know, young church like this, we can't afford to hire, you know, a well-seasoned, necessary pastor who's been around for a while, and frankly, most of them that aren't of any good are already settled in someplace, and they're not moving. You know, they're giving themselves to the Lord there. But we have had several men who were coming through who wanted to go back and take their own church eventually. And so we've had some young guys here for several years at a time. And then they're off and going. And I have interviewed a lot of pastoral majors, assistant pastors from lots of different Bible colleges. And one of the things that I have found is that the guys come out of West Coast knowing the Bible. There's a lot of guys that come out with a lot of zeal. That's good. They may have a personal walk with God. That's good. They may have a lot of talents, and that's good. And all those things are fine, but what we need to know is the Bible, because that's what's going to change your life, is the Word of God. And you can have a good pulpiteer, if you will, and can tell a lot of stories, and that's all fine and dandy. And sometimes you need those illustrations. As Spurgeon said, they're windows, you know, that open up to the story there. But you need to know the Word of God. In fact, I remember one of our gentlemen said the same thing. He said, "You always bring those guys in from West Coast. They all seem to know their stuff, don't they?" And they do. And I just really appreciate that so very, very much. And to be honest with you, that's where the first place I usually look for, a staff member. Now, right now, I'm not looking for anybody. We're good to go, and everybody stay here. All right? And so, Brother Charles Meyer just joined the staff here in the last month. Actually, was working at the college right next to Brother Bass, and so they work out of the same office there. But anyway, we're getting these guys in the ministry. Appreciate it. Let's take our Bibles here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. This is a phrase that we kind of throw around a lot. A lot of people throw it around. In fact, the whole world seems to know this. By the way, you realize how much the world kind of knows these little quotes from the Bible. And little things come in. They all kind of know it's there. They don't want to. They kind of use it and pick it and choose it the way they want to at the time. But this is one of those phrases that people have kind of misconstrued. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this particular phrase, but this will get us started on what I'm going to do here today. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 13. And again, a familiar passage. It says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." Now, if you're looking at the Bible with me, look at the word straight. They did not misspell that there. You say, "Well, left the G-H out of there." No, it's the straight, S-T-R-A-I-T, like a straight jacket. Okay? Not a straight. So we say, "Well, it's a straight and narrow." No, now that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about a confined, restricted, limited in our options. He says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Because, watch, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. You've got the gate, and once you get inside the gate, then you have a way that you're supposed to go, a road you're supposed to go. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. The Bible says the wages of sin is... So the froward heart decides to do something different. The wages of sin means to miss the mark, okay? So that to miss the mark, to not have done what God had wanted us to do, to come up short of what God is trying to do. So sin is not the right way. Sin is the having got off on the wrong way. And so the wages of sin, what we earn, what we're going to end up with, is sin, is death. A separation from this world physically, but more so the separation from God for eternity. Okay? Now, let's say it that way. But on the other hand, let's say you are saved. Now, by the way, if you're saved, you're saved. Okay? "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, as a gift of God." If you realize that you're a sinner, you realize we all are. We all are, and that we are accountable to God for our sin, and no one can enter heaven that would defile it, But Jesus Christ died and paid for our sins, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, not that we deserved it, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, how is that? God commendeth his love, showed his love, proved his love. God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wages of sin is death, but Christ died for us. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If God's already paid for it, if you want salvation, tell him and take it. It's a gift of God. Not a one of us deserve it. Now, that gets us in the door. But you know, there's a path that we're going to leave between here and there. As I've often said, I'm going to be in heaven, and I'm not scared to die and go to heaven. But I don't want to go in the next load. And there's going to be some time between now and when we go to heaven. And so the way between now and then, also, straight is the gate and narrow the way that leads to life. I can have life and life more abundantly, or I can just have, and that word death is like a corruption. For instance, you can have death to your family. When I say that, your family just, you say, well, my family just disintegrated. You have death to a marriage, death to your hopes and your dreams, death to your relationship with your spouse, death to your relationship with your kids. Just that can all just disintegrate in front of you. And God has a way. So he says here, straight is the gate and narrow is the way, verse 14, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Let's pray. We're going to talk about the straight and narrow way. And we're going to start with that as a kickoff. Just hang tight with me. I think you understand where we're going here. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings and for your word. And we thank you that your word is truth. It's forever settled in heaven. You've given all scriptures by inspiration. Holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and it's profitable. And Lord, it can give us some truth, some doctrine. It can give us some reproof, some correction there, and instruction in righteousness. And Lord, I pray that you'll work in our hearts. And Lord, be one here that hasn't yet accepted that wonderful gift of salvation. Pray that today will be the day of their salvation. But Lord, there may be many of us that are where we've been saved and we've been struggling on our way, as we're getting to the Lord. Not that we're earning our way to heaven, but the path is getting there. And you say once you've begun a good work, you can perform until the day of Jesus Christ. And so you're going to continue to work in our life to mold us and make us, to transform us into your image, and to give us a life and a life more abundant. And Lord, that's if we do it your way along that right road, it works very well. But Lord, when we get off on our own ways and our own road and into the briars, it always causes problems. So Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts here. Give each of us exactly what you want us to have. And Lord, I ask for your Holy Spirit. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. When you drive down through Dover here, you're on Main Street. Okay? But the fact is, Main Street's there, but the larger picture of this is Carlisle Road. Now, if you look on the map, believe it or not, you can follow this all the way up right to Carlisle. It's the road to Carlisle. And there's a Hanover Road to get you to Hanover. You know, and over at Hanover, there's a York Road to get you to York. And so, anyway, it gets you to Carlisle. Now, that gives a little bigger perspective. But if you think about the whole perspective in state, this is PA Route 74, runs right past our door. And it's not a big road, but in this area, it's an important road. And 10,000 cars go past here every day. And so there's a lot of traffic. And so you've got Main Street, you've got Carlisle Road, and you've got Route 74. Now, if you look at that, it's all the same road. But we're just looking at it from a different perspective. There's a lot of names for a little two-lane road. Now, there's a way in which we're supposed to walk in life. We call it several things. We may look at it from different perspectives, but it's the same path. It's not a huge road that God asks us to travel. In fact, traffic tends to be a little bit on the light side because most people don't go that way. The masses are not going that way, and we figure we tend to figure, well, we'll go with the crowd I mean, you know, how could a crowd that big as going that direction be wrong? Something that little road, a little road like that, you know, less stressful. You know, it's less stressful than everyone, you know, on that little road. And the fact is, though, you know why it's less stressful? Because everybody's going the same direction on that little road. They're all going the same direction on that little road. And if, in fact, if you're not going the same direction, then you're not on the same road. Now, this is kind of an instructional message, but I hope it'll clarify some things in your mind. I've kind of brought these principles up on from time to time, but I want to put them in focus. Let me give you number one. There is a straight and narrow way. There is a straight and narrow way. Let's go back to our verse here in Matthew 7:13. It says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." In other words, here's the ramp onto the way you're trying to go. It says there's a straight gate. There, that word straight means narrow. It means not much room between the obstacles. Has the idea that you really don't have a whole lot of space to work in or stretch out. There's limited variation. There's a straight gate. Now, I think the gate there is talking about there's one way unto heaven. Jesus, before he went to heaven, he was talking to his disciples that night. And he could see, they finally were getting the idea that he was actually going to be crucified. I mean, every time he talked about it, they just kind of went on and talked about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom and all this stuff. And, well, we won't let that happen. They're just moving on. And finally, I think they got the idea. Now, wait a minute. He's talking about crucifixion. He's talking about soon. And I think apparently a little worry came over their face there. And he says, whoa, 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 whoa. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. And I believe it was Thomas who said, well, Lord, we don't know the way. He said, oh, my soul, I've been talking about this for 3 years. You still don't get it? And he says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's how you get into the family. That's how you get on the road. Now, if you're on the road, you're going to get there. But it'd be awful nice if it was a nice trip. You ever have one of those trips where you start out, and in fact, the kids came in, Hannah and Steve are in town over the holiday here visiting. They're out working with Kevin Folger's, actually, I guess it's Pete, his son is now the pastor, is that right? And out there at Cleveland Baptist Temple? Church, Cleveland Baptist Church, I don't know. Anyway, anyway, they were out there. They drove in this week and they got in their car, and they live right next to the church, and he works at the school at the church, so they hardly drive their car. And they got in their car and started heading from Ohio to Pennsylvania and found out their air conditioning didn't work with three little kids, four and under. But anyway, you know, they so not a joyous trip, okay? Now, we're all going to get there, but it'd be awful nice if it was a nice trip. And God says, okay, the gate is getting in the door, and Jesus is that way. Now he says, now enter in at the straight gate, watch, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. He says, now there's this little straight gate, this little narrow passage, this little, you know, you don't have a whole lot of playroom here. I mean, you might be a little bit here to the right, a little bit to the left, a little bit here, but the fact is, you got to hit that gate pretty good. Right on the nose, or you're not getting in the gate. And Jesus is the gate. He said, I am the door. He's the door. There is no other door but Jesus Christ. And then he said, well, wide is the gate. Broad is the way. Spacious. Big, flat. In fact, when it says broad is the way, it means a big, flat, open road. Looks like easy traveling. Well, let's take that one. That's well paved. It's going good. Man, we can get on there and let her go. See the USA in the Chevrolet. I'm sorry, all the old folks remember that one. And that's back when they opened up the big highways going across America, and the big 57 Chevys and all those, you know, and the big 60s with the overdrive, and you're driving along and you put an overdrive, it goes, and you just soar across the country. And it was and so you got a big open road and away we go. And you know what? We like those. Brother Myers' daughter, little Bella, she's five years old, well, almost five, and she said she grew up in California, out through a flat there in the desert, and she said, "Daddy, why do the roads go up and down here?" You know, and in fact, they're building it. They're building out here on Jug Road, building a house out here. Now, have you ever been out on Jug Road? Anybody been out on Jug Road? I mean, you go down there, and there's times it stops almost, and you make a 90-degree turn, and up the hill you go, and I mean, if she thinks that you saw this up and down stuff was much, just wait till you get to the side to side stuff here. That's just the way it is in Pennsylvania. Now, it's a nice little scenic road, but you say, well, you know, if I got time, I'll do that. But you know, it would probably be more advantageous if I could just get on the road and do it and get where I need to go. And that's where a lot of times we say, well, I don't want any restrictions. I don't want to have to put my foot on the brake. I don't want any signs. I don't want any stop signs. Man, when I first moved here, the craziest stop signs. Stop unless you're turning right. I have never seen that until I got to here. Oh, my soul. Stop. And I still feel like I'm guilty. Hope the cops are not looking, you know. I still feel like I'm wrong when I do that. And so, but, you know, we like the open road. And the world wants easy traveling, no restrictions, let it go. But the Lord says there's a road that everybody goes in. The problem is there's a little straight gate. And there's a little narrow road that's going to give you the life that you want. Now, if you don't go in there, it's going to be bad. It might be a tough road, and what's even worse, we're not going to end up where we want to end up. He says, enter into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know, I think many people go in at the broad gate because, you know, they kind of miss seeing the little narrow gate. Maybe they don't recognize it. Maybe they think it's too much bother to go in there. The path is small. It's limited. Maybe it's too specific. It's a little restrictive. It's kind of confining. I mean, I can't put the pedal to the metal and let her rip. As soon as I get going, I'm stopping up again. And it just makes life hard. And very few ever see that narrow way in the midst of the broad way. Their eyes see the broad way and the crowd that's going that way. And they never seek the best way and the only way that leads to life. And that's Jesus Christ. Now, once you get through the gate, then you got a road you're going to travel. It's also narrow. It is. It's restrictive. There's some things that if you say, "Well, you know, I want to do what I please." You know, that's like the guy who said, "I want to do as I please." You hear about the kid? And I've heard this. He decided, "I'm tired of mom and dad telling me what to do. I'm going to go join the Marines." I heard a girl one time says, "You know what? You know, I'm just tired of being underneath my mom and dad's house." I said, "Help me, this is true. I want to do. I want to be able to do what I want to do, so I don't get married and have a baby." I don't want to be mean, but I think when they walk into the wind, it must whistle. You know what I mean? It just doesn't make any sense. We think, "I want to do as I please, and then I'll be free." No. You do as He pleases, and you'll feel free. You'll have a life free of a lot of messes. Now, we see the narrow way as an obstructed path that makes it difficult to go where we want to go. Well, I can't move over here. I can't do this. It's like we can't do anything. Can't you have some fun? I am having fun. I didn't wake up with a hangover this morning. I have never even come close to overdosing. I have a wife who trusts me. I have kids who love me, I think. Even when they said, when they were our teenagers, said, I hate you. You know how you can't go by that. They're crazy at that time, in that stage of life. Mark Twain said, when a kid turns 13, you put them in a barrel and put a hole in the barrel, feed them through the barrel, the hole. When they turn 18, plug up the hole. Now, the world sees the narrow way as confining, and they see the broad way as freeing, less stressful, because they think they're going to be able to do as they please. But see, the narrow way is actually the through way. Now, it's tight, but it's the only way that's actually going to get where you want to get to, in the way you want to get there. The other way is going to be a problem. You just need to follow the signs closely. This is a Christian sees the narrow way as the only way that's free and clear of obstacles. And the Lord sees the narrow way as the only way left without obstacles, blocking us from following the Lord. Now, there are a lot of choices on the broad way. The problem is we must make the right choice. And with so many choices, chances are we're not going to make the right choice. In fact, pretty well all the choices on the Broadway are a bad choice. In fact, you go heading toward the Broadway, the only good choice is the narrow way. There are many ways we can go on the Broadway and appears to be good. The problem is we have no guarantee where those ways are going to end up. There are very few options on the narrow way. However, any of the few options on the narrow way will get us safely to where the Lord wants us to be. If there's any little options on the narrow way, that's okay. As long as we're on the narrow way, it'll still get us where we need to be. You realize you don't have to be a Baptist to go to heaven. You need to believe that Jesus Christ died and paid for all your sins and trust Him with all your heart. Now, I'm a Baptist and I'm happy and proud to be so, but the fact is, you don't have to have Baptist in your name to go to heaven. Well, I mean, there are some Baptists who say, well, you're Baptist briders because, you know, unless you're a Baptist, you can't go to heaven. Well, that's just as wrong as if you say, well, you're a Catholic, you can't get to heaven unless you're a Catholic. That's not wrong. The way, the truth, and the life is not the denomination, it's Jesus Christ. Okay? So there are little variations, but you've got to come to Jesus to make that work. So many times a narrow way only leaves us with one way to go. Do we like options? You know, I bought a Chrysler 300 here about, oh, when I was 6-8 months ago, and you know, I like my options. Well, I want that. No, I want that. We'll put that. You know, I like that. That was a used one, but I found one that had what I wanted. I like options, but options are no good if it's not going to get us where we need to go. I sure look good in the car. Listen to the radio. Air conditioning's working. Transmission doesn't work, so don't go anywhere, but it sure looks good. It may appear that that is not a great road, you know, and that, you know, it's so you say, well, it's very scenic. Maybe it's a little slow. It's going to get us to the destination without damage and destruction. Now, as a Christian, I don't have to worry so much about making decisions. I'm not going to be able to get done here in the morning. I don't have to worry about making decisions. Why? Often the choices on the narrow road are so limited, if I'm going to stay on the path the Lord wants me to stay, I don't have a whole lot of choices to go with. But geez, that's okay, because the path is going to get me where I want to go. And I know it will. Sometimes there's only one choice that doesn't go against the Word of God. Maybe you're looking for a job. You know, we kind of look at these things, we kind of weigh them out, and you know, a lot of times gals go by their feelings. You know, well, they, you know, this feels good, or you know, so forth. And you know, guys, we're sitting here making pros and cons and this and that and the other thing. We got to realize there's some things that are deal breakers. See, but this one really pays well. I like the hours. This is great. It's only 10 minutes from the house. You know, and but there's something about it that's going to get us off that narrow way. Well, the only one that's still in the narrow way is the one that's 30 minutes away, pays minimum wage. I don't really like the guy. Well, either take the job or look for another one that doesn't go against the Word of God. Really? Yeah, really. You know, I'm 59. Turned 59 in May. I can't believe it. But I will say this. I've earned my gray hairs, and I've learned a few things. And I have found that God is faithful. And, you know, sometimes He doesn't paint it looking real good. He doesn't paint it looking good real, a lot of times. He wants to see if you're willing to follow Him, even when it doesn't look fun. He says, take up your cross and follow me if you want to be my disciple. Now, in fact, if I will get on the road and do what He says, you know what I found? Sometimes a road opens up to a much nicer area, but I couldn't see it for all the trees. Around here, you find yourself a little road someplace, and you thought it was going north, and it turns around, now it's going south. You know how it is, and that's going up this hill, and you don't know where the road's going to be. But I do know this, it's the right road. Whether it looks fun or not, it's the right road. And I might have to, I was following a GPS the other day. It's been a year ago. And I'm aware I was up someplace, And I made one visit, and then I made another visit, and so it's kind of said, well, the next visit's right over there. So I punched in the GPS, and away I go. I'm heading out there, and you know, we're a country road, and then there was no line in the road. And then it got smaller. Then it turned into stone. You know, and you're going past some farm, and the guy's going, must be a relative or somebody. No one else comes out here, you know. And then it turned dirt. Finally, it came to the edge of the woods and stopped. According to the GPS, there's a road that goes through there somewhere. Not anymore. See, I had it all figured out. But there's a road you're supposed to take that will get you where you need to go. Now, it doesn't have a whole lot of options. But usually that keeps us out of trouble. The broad way is, be honest with you, the broad way is actually more stressful. I'll tell you what, listen, it is. It leads to constant problems and more choices. The world thinks they have many options, but that is because they have very few criteria to guide their thought process. Some folks who want to stay free from the restrictions of the straight and narrow way become confused, depressed, and with a little direction in life, and they think that life is just a shot in the dark. You never know what life is going to take you. It's a flip of the coin. A Forrest Gump thing. Life is a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And that's true to a certain extent. But I do want to know where I'm going to end up. I do want to know when I'm on the right path. Even if it may be good, the wide path, it may be bad. And we said, well, sometimes it's just a matter of luck. I don't want to give my life to luck. If we got promises, seize them. Grab a hold of them. Yeah, but this doesn't look like the road where I want to go. If I'm using my Bible for a road map. You ever hear that old song? Okay. That's what we need to do. We got to use our Bible for a road map. This is where we're going to go. The road turns down here. Well, I need to take that turn. Yeah, but it's kind of the one going ahead, man. It's straight. It opens up a little bit. There's actually a line down the middle of the road there, and it looks like they paved it not too long ago. I think I'll just see where that one goes. Not if that's the road we're supposed to be on. The Lord says, these are your options, and these are not options. The world says, don't limit me, Lord. I want to do and be as I want to be. I want to be as God, knowing good and evil. And so if I want to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I will, and I'm not going to let some God limit my options. It's my life to live. And then we're down the wrong road. The problem with that is that we are no longer on the straight and narrow road that leads to life, but we are on the broad way that leads to destruction. When I was a kid, I remember learning this in church, and the broad way. And my dad used to go here and there and looking for antique cars. So I always saw these little towns that had a road called Broadway. Now, why in the world would they ever name their road? Because that leads to destruction. Why would they want to? I don't know. That was just me. But okay, so we have a straight and narrow way. Let me give you just a little bit. I'm not going to get done. Let me start in the second one so you see where I'm going here. We have a straight and narrow way. In other words, it's restrictive. There's not a lot of options. There's a broad way that looks good. Seems like it has a lot of options, but the problem is the options just don't accomplish what you want to accomplish. Now, there's another way of looking at it. This is Main Street down here, but it's also Carlisle Road. It's also Route 74. Now, you know the passage in Psalm 23. If you want to turn to it real quick, Psalm 23. We're not going to get done here this morning, but we'll do the best we can here. And we've got to get this started on this one so you see where we're headed. We have a straight and narrow way describes. It's a small, you say, well, it doesn't look like the right one. It is the right one. Now, in Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. By the way, it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Lord Jehovah, the self-existing one, the God of all creation, the one who made all this, is my shepherd. My daddy's bigger than anybody else's daddy. At least all the world's daddy. The Lord's my shepherd. And because he's my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, I will have everything I need. Now, when it says I shall not want, it means that I will not have need of anything that's good for me. He will not withhold anything that's good. Now, I might decide I want a 30-foot boat or something. He may not give it. But probably shouldn't, because I end up on the lake all every weekend and won't be here in church anyway. But yeah, that goes. But he gives me everything I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The fact is, we're going to find here real soon that God calls this straight and narrow path in this passage the path of righteousness. Not the path of sin, not the path of worldliness, not the path of options, but the path of righteousness. He calls this little straight and narrow road the path of righteousness. The shepherd's goal, now watch me, the shepherd's goal is to get his flock to the green pastures and the still waters so they have everything they need and not want any good thing. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me, verse 2, to lie down in green pastures. That word maketh gives the idea of this. The work that God is trying to do, the work that God is trying to accomplish in your life is to get you to the green pastures and the still waters. He wants you to have good things. He wants you to have a happy life. It says, He maketh me to lie down, to rest, to recline, to repose. He wants us to have a peaceful life. Watch out. And he leadeth me beside the still waters. That word leadeth there means to run with a sparkle. Look it up. It means to run with a sparkle. That's kind of weird. It means, that's good stuff. He leadeth me to beside the still waters. To run with a sparkle, to flow with a splash, to happily lead, to guide us, sustain us on our way, protect us, because he wants us to get us to the still waters. The road that leads to the green pastures and the still waters, watch me, is that little straight and narrow way. Some of you are fishermen, and you know where the best fishing hole is. And I know some of you have secret fishing holes. And everybody goes down there by the dock where everybody else is, and you just kind of sneak off. And there's this little spot where the tree limb kind of does this, and you just kind of slide underneath there, and you work your way around, and you've got a spot down there where there's this nice little pool where all the fish go to feed. It's not out there on the main road. It's not out there on the main path. It's back there underneath the trees over there by the creek, because that's where the good eating is. God says, I know where the good eating is. You got to follow that little path that I put you on. He says, I've got good things for you. See, the road that leads the green pastures is the straight and narrow way. The broad way does not lead to the green pastures and the still waters. The broad way leads to destruction. The broad way leads to bad things in your life. The only way I'm going to get to the green pastures and the still waters is if I follow that little restrictive path, less traveled, which is righteousness, rather than having all the options of the world. Having more options is not necessarily good if all the options are bad. I hope you haven't heard this, but on the TV, the old movies used to. Cowboy walks into the saloon, clink, clank, clank. Bartender comes. Okay, pick your poison. We got everything you can think of. Pick your poison. And that's the world's way. Oh, there's a lot of options. Go ahead. Pick your poison. You're gonna get to the same place sooner or later, one way or another. Look at verse 3. She says, well, back one. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me by the still waters. That's his goal. Now watch me, verse 3. He restoreth my soul. That means he brings us back from loss and destruction. He restores us from corruption and wasted life. And the stuff that, in fact, to tell you the truth, he'll pull you on that little straight and narrow if you let him. He has a long arm. He can get you over there real quick if you're willing to take it. He says, he restoreth my soul. Watch. He leadeth me, guides me, directs me in the paths of righteousness. Now that word path is an interesting word. It means a track. A circular track. Sounds like NASCAR. You're going to race and race and race. And the fact is, the scenery never changes, and you just keep going around in circles. But you know what? Somebody's going to win. He says, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness, in a trench, A circular path. The same old thing. You think you're just getting nowhere. But God says, you just stay on that path. And by faith, it will get you where you want to be. Where it's right and good and equitable. He says, I will put you on the paths of righteousness for my name's sake. Because of his goodness. Because of his love. Because of his mercy. Because of his determination to do us well. Now, as long as I'm on that little narrow path of righteousness, I will be safe in the arms of the Lord. Look what it says in verse 4. Now, wait a minute, let me go back. He said, he leadeth me on paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. See, that's all it goes together. I'm on the path of righteousness. I'm on that little straight and narrow way, and I'm following him, and, you know, just I don't have a whole lot of, you know, it gets a little tight sometimes. But boy, you think I'll have more options than this. If this is really the right way, you think it would make it easier than this. He says, no, just follow me. And sometimes it actually takes us down to the valley of the shadow of death. But I'd rather be in the valley of down on the valley of the shadow of death, on the path of righteousness, the little straight and narrow path, than on the Broadway that's leading to destruction. It might be just a little footbridge. Somebody along the way may have just dropped a tree across the creek, and we're going to go across the creek, but everybody else is drowning down here trying to get across the wide spot. God says, I'll see you through. Listen, there's some tough times we all have to go through. Whether you're a Christian, whether you're not a Christian, wherever you are, young Christian, old Christian, there are tough things in life you're going to have to get through, and it's going to be tough. But I'll tell you this, I'd rather go through it with the Lord than without him. We've had several of our ladies who've lost loved ones here recently. Husbands, father. And it's one of those things where you think, I don't know how we're going to through, but yet it's funny, they've told me, said, you know, I've just kind of, I miss him. It's not the same, but I'm all right. I'm all right. Because the Lord's with us. I'm in good hands as long as I allow his hands to guide me. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They give me rest. They give me peace, because they're keeping me on the path of righteousness by restricting my choices so I don't get off the path and slip over onto the broad way. If I walk away from the little narrow path of righteousness, I will be also walking away from the Lord. And I'll be out on my own. And I want to stay with him. We've got to stop here. Next week we've got two other paths, two other names of the same path. Now listen to me here this morning. That path is a little straight. Not straight. It may wind. He said the paths of righteousness. It may wind all over the place. Up around the creek and down the holler and so forth. But it's a little narrow path with very few options. But if it's the path that's going to get me where I need to go, have very few options, then I can't hardly make a mistake. Kind of like, getting on the turnpike and missing your exit. You got to go 5 miles down the road before you get to do it again. But you know, if you get on the turnpike, you say, "Well, I'm going to go from exit, you know, 235, and I'm going to go out to, you know, whatever it is there, 400 and something or whatever it is. How many out there? You can't afford to drive it that long anyway. But I just need to stay on this road. Oh, there's a few little options here. I don't need that. That's not going to get me where I'm going to go. I need to stay right on the road that God's asked me to stay on. Stay there. And stay there. Straight. It's narrow. Confining. So I don't swear I want a life like that. I'll tell you what. When you let him lead your life, you can feel like it's confining. But the fact is, it's the road that leads the life. The only thing that makes it tough is our pride. Well, me and the Lord, we don't see eye to eye. Well, then I wonder who's wrong. Only by pride cometh contention. If you're having a fight with the Lord, I guarantee you he's not wrong. I know he's always right. You think he's always right. Don't you hate it when they're always right? He's always right. And he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Because of who he is, he's doing it right. Where are you this morning? It says, straight is the gate, narrow the way. Have you gotten in the gate? Do you know for sure if you died to go to heaven? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Some of you haven't even got on the on-ramp yet. That starts with Jesus. That's when life really begins. You get on the road. Now, maybe some of you went through the gate, but you've been jumping over on the Broadway. Or maybe you just kind of got in the gate and you skipped right around and went right on the Broadway right from the very beginning. I don't know. But if you want to enjoy the life, enjoy the trip, it's okay to take the scenic route. That little path out through the woods, because that's where the Lord is. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, thank you for speaking to hearts here this morning.